Jai. Glorious to Srila Prabhupada. We were going to start with a kirtan, but I was told that technically it will not be possible. So, we will try to do it tomorrow. I have a little arrangement here. Somebody gifted me this little keyboard. And I was going to try to have a kirtan with it. And we tried it here and it worked fine, but I guess it doesn't work at Bhakti Sangama Festival. Is there anybody at the Bhakti Sangama Festival? It looks like the pandal is completely empty. If it is, then I'll speak to the devotees online. Can you answer my question, Sankashandatai?
Devotees will gather gradually, so prasadam finished recently, so devotees are gathering, you can see.
I can see maybe, I see about five devotees.
Yes, they are coming.
Okay, all right. I mean, I just need to know if they're going to be there, because if they're not going to be there, then I won't speak to them. I'll speak to...
Yes, definitely, they are going to be there.
Okay. All right. So we will begin with Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And then I want to give a short introduction. And I'll explain everything in the introduction. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Now, the reason why I asked if devotees will be there at Bhakti Sangama Festival is because if they are there, then I'll have to give an introduction. Because most of the devotees who are online, they already know where we've been speaking from in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because my plan is to resume exactly where we left off the last time I gave class on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But I'm going to assume that the devotees at the Bhakti Sangama Festival who are attending might require some introduction and a little bit of a summary, let's say, about what we've done in the last year and a half in our classes on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And I'm going to give a very brief summary. And I also wanted to give a little bit of an introduction about Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I wanted to read two verses, which are actually not verses, but quotes, which are written on Brihad Bhagavatamrita itself. One is a quote from Srila Prabhupada about Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And the other one is a quote from Srila Rupa Goswami, who glorifies his brother Sanatan Goswami for what he has done by giving the world Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And I'll read those first, and then I'll speak a little bit about it. First is a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 5, text 203. Sanatana kripaya painu bhaktira siddhanta, Shirupa kripaya painu bhaktirasa pranta. Purport, translation, by the mercy of Sanatana Goswami, I have learned the final conclusions of devotional service, and by the grace of Sri Rupa Goswami, I have tasted the highest nectar of devotional service. This is Kaviraj Goswami speaking. In the beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, Sri Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, the teacher of the science of devotional service, wrote several books, of which the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is very famous. Anyone who wants to know about the subject matter of devotees, devotional service, and Krishna must read this book. And Rupa Goswami is quoted in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as saying, Srimat Prabhu Padam Bhojai Sava Bhagavatamrite Vyakti Kritasti Gutapi Bhakti Siddhanta Madhuri. Our divine master has revealed in his Bhagavatamrita all the sweet conclusions of devotional philosophy, including its most confidential secrets. Brihad Bhagavatamrita consists of two volumes. We didn't read the first volume last time, or during our sessions. The first volume is known as Bhagavat Kripasara Nidhara, which is finding the essence of the Supreme Lord's mercy. And in the first volume, Srila Sanatana Goswami describes Narada Muni's search for the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. Now, we should also understand a little bit before that what Brihad Bhagavatamrita is, both volumes, is it's an account of conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and his mother Uttara. As we know, Parikshit Maharaj heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of Shukadeva Goswami in preparation for fulfilling his purpose in life, knowing that he had 7 days to live. He wanted to know, what should one do? What is the duty of a man who's about to die? Shukadeva Goswami explained, he must hear about, glorify, and must always remember Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul in the heart of all living beings. Parikshit Maharaj sat for 7 continuous days and received from the lips of Shukadeva Goswami this confidential teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, as described, Uttara understanding that now that Srimad Bhagavatam was finished, she could understand that her son, who was destined to die at the bite of a snake bird, was going to leave her. And she was in great anxiety, and she approached Parikshit Maharaj, and she asked him, can you see how much distressed I am at the thought of your departure? Can you please help alleviate my distress by revealing to me all that you've heard? You've heard a message about what is a duty of a person who's about to die, but now I'm a mother who's going to witness the departure of my son. And can you please relieve my distress? So, essentially, Parikshit Maharaj understood that he couldn't possibly give all the details of what he heard, although as much as he would like to and was qualified to, he understood that he didn't have that time. So Parikshit Maharaj, he presented the essence of what he heard from Shukadeva Goswami. And in that essence, he covered two very important topics. The first is that which we just described, is who were the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy. And of course, that ultimately culminated in Narada Muni's search for the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. He discovered that it was none other than Srimati Radharani and the gopis of Raj. They were the greatest recipients, and it became revealed how they were discovered as the greatest recipients, because in his search from one to the devotee to the next, where he went on his journey to find the greatest recipient, he found that each personality who he approached, each of them thought of themselves as unqualified for Krishna's mercy. Each of them thought of themselves of having no love for Krishna. And each of them thought of themselves as being unable to sufficiently render any service. No love, I have no love, and I can't render any service to Krishna that satisfies him. And Narada Muni, in the course of his journey, discovered a certain theme, that everyone had a similar mood. And of course, as we know, it culminated in the mood of, after Dwarka, he went and he revealed to the residents of Dwarka. I'm sorry, I forgot to do one thing here. It'll just take me a second. Okay, it's done, hopefully. That the residents of Vrindavan, they had the greatest love for Krishna, because Krishna was totally captivated by their love. Not only was he totally captivated by their love, he was bewildered by their love. He felt separation. Even when he was with his other devotees, everywhere he went, all the other devotees were recipients of Krishna's mercy. And Krishna was with them and reciprocating them. But wherever he went, he was always feeling that his greatest attachment, which are those devotees of Vrindavan. And everyone, especially Narada Muni, got the opportunity to witness the love of the residents in Vrindavan and the love Krishna had for them. And then, that is the first. So much I could say. I covered a lot of that also in our previous classes on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is described, the second volume is described as the glories of Goloka. Goloka Mahatmya. The glories of Goloka. Now, why? Because the second volume of Brihad Bhagavatamrita culminates in a Gopakumara's quest, his search, to find the Lord of his heart, who he was told he could obtain when he received the mantra that was given to him by his spiritual master, Jayanta. At that time, when Jayanta gave him the mantra, he told him, "This mantra was given to me by the Lord of the universe." and I'm giving it to you. And by your chanting of this mantra, you will be able to attain all perfection from the chanting of this mantra. And then Gopakumara goes also on a journey. Both first volume and second volume, we see the journey of Paribrahmacharya. I don't know. I find myself stumbling on Sanskrit these days. I'm not sure why. But anyways, they were wandering mendicants. Narada Muni was a wandering mendicant. And a wandering mendicant wanders to give what he has to others, but he also wanders to obtain association. Narada Muni was actually wandering to attain the association because he wanted to find devotees who had Krishna's mercy. And Gopakumara was also wandering in search of the Lord of his heart, and everywhere he wandered, he got darshan of the Lord, and he got darshan not only of the Lord, but of his spiritual master who gave him his mantra, who appeared to him 5 times in the course of his travels. He appeared, and also appeared to him was Narada Muni. Several times Narada Muni appeared to him. He also got the association of Lord Shiva, Parvati, Nandi, and many other fully qualified Vaishnavas who gave him their blessings, gave him instructions, and helped him on his also on his journey as a wandering mendicant who was looking for Madan Gopal. And when we started reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we started in chapter 3, for those of us who are, those of you who are with us. We started when Gopakumara was in Mahakalapur. And when the Vaikuntha Dutas descended from Vaikuntha, and they came to give their association to Gopakumara and to give their instructions to him and to give him what he needed to go forward in his journey. And the essence of what they spoke to him about was the 9 processes of devotional service by which one can achieve prema bhakti, ecstatic love for the Lord. And prominently, by chanting the holy name of the Lord. And we covered an awful lot about the chanting of the holy name of the Lord in that chapter, and how Gopakumara took their instructions to heart. He returned back to Gokula after hearing their instructions. He heard Srimad Bhagavatam. He associated once again with his spiritual master who saw him, saw his spiritual master for the last time. And then Gopakumara at that particular point in that chapter 3, he began chanting with great ecstasy the holy names of the Lord. And then in his great ecstasy of chanting, he lost consciousness. How is the sound? Is the sound okay? Yes. Okay. Is the Russian okay for those who are online who need to hear Russian? Yes. Very good. Thank you. I'm seeing some expressions on faces that somehow made me think that there was something wrong, and I thought I should inquire to make sure it's correct. So, then Gopakumara, as we know, for those of us who were with us on that journey, he fell in ecstasy, and the next thing he knew, there was these effulgent personalities who came to receive him and to take him to his next destination, which was Vaikuntha. They were same Vaikuntha dutas he had previously seen, had come to him again, and they were taking him on his journey to Vaikuntha. And on that journey, Gopakumara saw all the previous places he had visited. Everybody who previously in all those places was trying to keep him there, was telling him the glories of what they were experiencing there, the happiness they were experiencing there, and they were trying to capture him in his previous journey to those places. But Gopakumara, he was unsatisfied everywhere he went. Why was he unsatisfied? Because as the theme we all learned, hopefully, those of you who were with us on this journey, we all learned that Gopakumara was destined to be unsatisfied. Why? He was destined to be unsatisfied because he had a particular hankering that had been awakened in his heart by the chanting of his mantra, that he wanted nothing else except to achieve full darshan and service to his Madan Gopal, which was the object of his meditation and was the Ishtadev of his mantra. And not only that, was the blessing his spiritual master gave him when he gave him, "I give you the benediction that may you achieve the fruit of your mantra. You will always have an eternal form. Your body will never change." And then he gave him blessings. And so he was destined to be unhappy. And what we covered extensively is the symptom of unhappiness for a devotee who's hankering for Krishna, a relationship with Krishna. There's a symptom, particular symptom of unhappiness. And we'll cover that also. I'll get to that in just a moment. As I said, I'm giving a summary, and I'm bringing everyone to chapter 4, verse 225, which is where we're going to begin our readings of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because that's where we left off previously. But now Gopakumara is with these Vaikuntha dutas on an airplane, Vaikuntha airplane. And when he comes back to consciousness, he sees them. These same personalities are there. And now these same personalities are telling him, we're taking you to the place which you've qualified yourself to go. And not only that, everywhere else he had previously gone, everyone who saw him, instead of trying to stop him, they just simply held their hands up in pranams. And understanding that, yes, we no longer have any ability whatsoever to attract him. He doesn't want what we have to offer him. He's going to a place he deserves to go, and flower petals are being thrown upon him, as he takes the express journey. Previously he took the local train, but now he's on the express train. And the local train, as we know, stops everywhere. I know I've been on a local train in Russia before. And I know how many stops they can make. And but there's an express train. And the express train, generally, where it begins, and you go to where the ends, and that's exactly what Gopakumar did. So, on his course of his journey, the Vaikuntha Dutas had said to him, "Hey, you don't, why don't you have take on a body like us?" And Gopakumar was not very inclined, because he had a particular attachment in his heart, and that is, he was a resident of Mathura, specifically of Govardhan, a cowherd boy. And he was, as mentioned before, he was somewhat naive. He wasn't interested in opulences. He wasn't interested in anything of the opulences that had that were previously offered to him. Even the beauty of the heavenly planets and the heavenly damsels of the heavenly planets. Gopakumar just, he didn't have any particular interest of any of opulences whatsoever. He liked and had an innate quality for simplicity. And therefore, forearms and all this jewelry and everything else which the residents of Vaikuntha are accustomed to being like was not appealing to him. And therefore he kept that same form. And then, as we know, he arrived in Vaikuntha. He was kept at the gates of Vaikuntha. And he was told by his carriers, "Wait here. We're going to announce your arrival." And while he was waiting at the gates of Vaikuntha, he saw something he had never seen before. And he became so awestruck and captivated by it that he didn't know what to do. He saw all these personalities arriving, going through the gates without any restraints. And each time he saw them arriving, he thought they possibly maybe were the Supreme Lord that he was looking for. He bowed down, prostrated himself to them. And they had to tell him in so many different ways, no, we're not the Supreme Lord, we're simply his servants. And one of them even told him to bite your tongue, don't ever say anything like that again. We're not interested in being called that. We're simply servants. And the person that you're looking for is there and inside. And he saw so many wonderful forms. Forms that he was bewildered about. Why was he bewildered? He was bewildered because he saw all the forms that he had seen in other places. Forms of, some of the Vaikuntha residents had forms of animals, reptiles, monkeys. Some of them had forms of Brahmins. Some of them had forms of sages. And they all had these different features. And he was wondering, which Narada Muni is going to later answer to him, who are all of these wonderful forms that I'm seeing? What, they're so effulgent, self-effulgent. What is their nature? Then, I don't want to get too much into detail. I'm moving along. After being captivated by what he saw at the gates of Vaikuntha, then the Vaikuntha Dutas, who had gone in to announce Gopakumara's arrival, they quickly returned, although for Gopakumara it didn't seem so quick, but they very quickly returned, and they brought him in, and he had to pass through all these gates, and each gate was a gatekeeper, also had this wonderful forms, forearm forms, bluish complexion, with all of these jewels and everything that made them look so wonderful. And in each place, each gate he entered, his arrival was announced. He was given permission to go to the next gate, to the next gate. And finally, after passing through, I believe it was 7 gates, he came to a palace, and he saw, off in the distance of the palace, he saw Lord Vaikunthanath. And he was greeted by Lord Vaikunthanath. So many details about his greetings, his meeting with Lord Vaikunthanath, and the Lord of Vaikuntha expressed in no uncertain terms how ecstatic he was to receive Gopakumara, how happy he was to how much he had been waiting for him to come, how much he had observed in every one of his different places that he had gone, in all the different bodies he had traveled to, in his form as the super soul within the heart. He had accompanied him and was waiting for him to turn to him. And he described how he was looking for an excuse to bring him, but he couldn't even find an excuse to bring him, because Gopakumara previously had never even chanted Namabhas. He never rendered service to a devotee. But in this form, as Gopakumara, as we know, the Lord, he somehow intervened and gave him some special mercy. And he arranged for him to take his birth in Govardhan. And as he told him, "I even appeared as your spiritual master, Jayanta." And although Gopakumara did not recognize him as his spiritual master, he became captivated by Jayanta. And somehow, unknowingly, he rendered some service to Jayanta. And Jayanta, by seeing the simplicity of this simple cowherd boy in Govardhan, he decided, "I want to give him something special." Told him to go take his bath and to come back, and he gave him the Gopal Gayatri Mantra. So the Lord was telling him in Vaikuntha, "I was looking for a reason, nothing. But finally, now you're here. I'm so happy to see you." The Lord gave him different opportunities for service. He revealed to him something about his nature. But Gopakumara was still unsatisfied. Now we're getting closer. Now, I forgot, what time does this go to? Forgive me. It started at what time? What time did I start? I started at 6:30. Right? No, 6:30 my time. Okay. Okay, I got time. I have to be conscientious. This is the Bhakti Sangama festival I'm speaking to, and they have 75-minute time slots. And after my time slot, I know they'll have a next time slot. And it could be Trivikram Maharaj, it could be somebody who wants to lead kirtan, and I don't want to cause any offenses. And I'm so I will stop promptly. at the time that I'm supposed to stop. So, Gopakumara was still dissatisfied. Why was he dissatisfied? Now, this is a very, very important point to understand. And this is why Narada Muni met Gopakumara again in Vaikuntha. And he basically told him, after Gopakumara left, when Lord Narayan was taking his lunch and Lakshmi was cooking for him, with all opulences and everything that was going on there and all the proper protocol. And then Gopakumara left the palace and Narada Muni saw him and came up to him, pulled him aside and said, you know, I've never seen anybody unhappy in Vaikuntha. How do you deal with that? How is it possible? Somebody's attained Vaikuntha, a place of no anxiety, eternal happiness, ever-increasing, ecstatic love, and Narada Muni pulled him aside and said, something's amiss here. And he knew, Narada Muni knew, of course, because he knows everything. He knows the heart of those who he speaks to, and feeling compassionate, his compassionate nature, his Karuna Ras, as Sanatana Goswami described, began to manifest. And in his Karuna Ras, he, feeling compassion for Gopakumara, he wanted to try to enlighten him about everything he saw at the gates of Vaikuntha, everything he saw in the presence of the Lord of Vaikuntha, and everything he was experiencing about feeling unhappiness. And why was he feeling unhappiness? And all of these things were gradually revealed. Narada Muni began to tell him about who were those wonderful forms that he saw at the gates of Vaikuntha. He explained to them that they're all eternal forms. They're all forms which were attained by those who worship the Lord in ecstatic love. And by their meditation and by their worship, they were attracted to a particular form. And being attracted to a particular form of the Lord, they worship the form in ecstatic love previously in the form of a deity, which was the deity of their heart, or the deity of their mantra, and the deity of their meditation. And because they had a particular type of love for the Lord, which also included knowledge of the opulences of the Lord, because they saw him as the Supreme Lord and worshipped him as the Supreme Lord, they achieved Vaikuntha. And they, some of them assumed Sarupya Mukti, which were, they had bodies similar to the Lord. Some of them assumed forms of Samipya, they had Sarshti, they had same opulences of the Lord, just as the Lord had opulences at his hands that he could always do with whatever he wished. Some of these residents of Vaikuntha that Gopakumara saw, which really bewildered him, he saw some of them appearing before the gates of Vaikuntha, and he saw them appearing with beautiful golden airplanes. And then, before they entered the gate, they took all these golden they took the golden airplane and they just withdraw the airplane into themselves. And then they just entered in to Vaikuntha just themselves. Some of them entered with some of their with their consorts. Maybe some of them came and entered with their children. But he saw so many wonderful things. And Narada Muni explained to them exactly who he saw and how they achieved that destination which they got in Vaikuntha. So he answered those questions. And then Narada Muni really goes into a lot of detail. And what this whole chapter of Vaikuntha, which we're reading from chapter 4, describes, first Narada Muni describes how the Lord manifests in unlimited forms. And in each of these forms, the Lord is present, Satchidananda. It's an eternal form, full of knowledge and bliss. Even though the form may manifest in different places, may manifest it in Vaikuntha, sometimes the Lord manifests his forms in other places, in the material universes. Sometimes the Lord manifests himself in deity forms, just as Lord Purushottam, as Gopakumara had previously seen in Purushottam Kshetra, Lord Jagannath. He manifests in a very playful form. And Narada Muni explained to him that all these forms of the Lord, which are manifest everywhere, are non-different from him. And then he said that all the devotees who are with him in these various places, they all have moods similar to the mood that the Lord has. And the Lord assumes a mood similar to their mood to satisfy them. Just like in Vaikuntha, as we said, all the residents of Vaikuntha, many of them have knowledge of the Lord's opulences, Aishvarya. They have knowledge. And they worship him as the Lord. We read, last time, we read a wonderful verse and commentary which nicely describes this. It was from Baladev Vijayabhushan. It was his commentary of Vedanta Sutra. And in the Vedanta Sutra, he took one verse of the Vedanta Sutra and he explained something which is very important. And which also was the essence of what Narada Muni was explaining to Gopakumara. The verse, Vedanta Sutra, is just that. They're sutras. And this is a sutra, Stana Visheshat Prakasha Divat. That's the whole sutra. What does it mean? The sutra means that the Lord appears variously because of different places and devotees, just like light. So this is the verse of Vyasadeva Sutra, Vedanta Sutra, just like light. And Baladev Vijayabhushan, in his commentary, he gives that light appears differently according to the place where it is. He said, just like if you put a light in the middle of the room and the walls are crystal, the light will be very sharp and very crystal-like. If you put a light in the room and the walls are ruby, the color of the light will not be sharp. It'll have a reddish hue, subdued, more appealing, attractive. And he gives us an example. It's just like Krishna. I'll read it. It says, a lamp light appears differently in sparkle and hue in rooms made of crystal or ruby. And then he gives another example. One sound appears with different sweetness and sonority in a conch, drum, or flute. The meaning is this. Where there is appearance of the great powers of the Lord, at that place bhakti to the Lord is executed according to the rules. By that type of bhakti, the Lord's manifestation is sharp, like a light in a crystal room. Where there is manifestation of the Lord's sweetness, even though the Lord actually has all powers, bhakti for the Lord is executed with taste. That is the difference. By that type of bhakti, the manifestation is sweetness, like the light shining in a ruby room. Thus, difference in bhakti has been demonstrated with different abodes and different devotees' moods. So as we spoke about previously, each of the Lord's abodes, the Lord reflects the mood of his worshippers. They love him selflessly. And they have a particular mood. They love him so selflessly that the Lord reciprocates that mood and appears to them in a form just suitable for their love. Just suitable. They're fully satisfied. That's why in Vaikuntha, everyone is satisfied. Because the Lord fully satisfies everyone. They got the destination they wanted. And even though there are different hierarchies in Vaikuntha, there's no question of hierarchy because everyone is fully satisfied. So for each and every person who's fully satisfied, how can he say somebody's happier than I am? No, he's fully satisfied. There's no envy. We talked about previously also that that's very much emphasized that in Vaikuntha, envy cannot exist. Just doesn't exist. In Goloka, it exists. Oh, but we talked about that before. In Goloka, it exists, but in a very sweet, sweet form. Very sweet form. In fact, well, we won't go to Goloka, but that's part of the glories of Goloka. That in Goloka, even envy exists, but it's in its the highest form. But in Vaikuntha, there's no envy. So nobody thinks, why does he have that service? I want that service. No, everyone's happy. They got exactly the eternally the service they wanted, they worshipped, they meditated on, they chanted for, and they achieved it in their for those who achieved perfection in their previous life, and they got it in its perfected stage in Vaikuntha. And for those who are eternally in Vaikuntha, for them, there's no birth in Vaikuntha. They were always there, and they always had that relationship, and the Lord was always there in that form. And we don't stop in any time or place to think about when. No, there is no when. It's eternal. They were always there. And Narada Muni tells that also to Gopakumar. This is part of Narada Muni's explanation. This is not my explanation. This is Narada Muni's explanation to Gopakumara. Because Gopakumara was awestruck. He was completely awestruck. But he didn't like being awestruck. And in fact, one of the reasons why he was stopped is because when he was entering in Vaikuntha, when he saw the Lord of Vaikuntha, as we read about, he called out, Gopal! And he immediately ran to Gopal to embrace him. And they had to stop him. No, 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 no. Not here. Not here. They had to stop Gopakumar, because Gopakumar was, he was out of place. He was out of place. Everybody has their place. The residents of Vaikuntha have their place. And the Lord is with them in their place. It's his place. It's their place. But Gopakumar was out of place. And Narada Muni had to explain all this to Gopakumar. Well, you are worshiping the Lord. You got it. This you qualified to get here by your qualification, but because you're still dissatisfied and you're still looking for something beyond that which is achievable here, I have to tell you that you won't find it here. And but because you're so much hankering for it, you've got what it takes, even more than I've got what it takes, to go there. And then he began to speak to him about that place. But he had to speak very quietly about that place. Because anybody else, for them, they're not looking for that place. They've got what they want. So that's why he called Gopakumar aside and said, he revealed to him about everything he saw in Vaikuntha. And then he told him, there is a special place. And then, I might be jumping ahead. I'm not exactly sure if I'm following in sequence. At some point, Gopakumar said, he was asking, after Narada Muni explained to him about all these different forms of the Lord, how they were non-different from the Lord, but he also explained another very, very important feature, which I haven't even covered yet, but I'll briefly explain it, is how the Lord also appears in his energies who are non-different from him. Because we also spoke about that Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shakti Man. How Radharani, she is the perfection, the full potency of the Lord, and Krishna is Shakti Man, he is the possessor of all these potencies. And how A Dui Beda, that how they're Vastu, essentially they are the same. Nahi. They're non-different. Beda nahi. And vastu nahi, excuse me. They're non-different. But at the same time, they're the same. So he began describing not only about Krishna, but he began describing about Krishna's potencies and began describing about Mahalakshmi, how Mahalakshmi also manifests with Lord Narayan. Eternally, she's always there in Vaikuntha. And she also descends in various places. And then, after speaking about how the potencies of the Lord are manifested and all everywhere throughout creation, then he began speaking about the Sakchyavesh avatars and how the potencies of the Lord manifest in certain qualified devotees who are sometimes they're empowered jivas, and the potency of the Lord is manifested in them. And then after hearing all about the Lord's manifesting everywhere, then Gopakumar asked Narada Muni a question. And this was the question which is bringing us to the up this Narada Muni's description about the deities, which will bring us to the verses we're going to begin speaking on verse 225 in chapter 4. He asked, can't somebody, if Krishna is non-different than the deity, if that form is Satchitananda Vigraha, Can't somebody perfect his life simply by worshipping this form of the deity and achieve all perfection in his relationship with the deity? And then he had a particular doubt in his mind that he asked Narada Muni to clarify. I would think that is so from what you've told me so far. But why is it? I've heard from scriptures different statements about those who worship deities. They're Prakriti Bhaktis. And the scripture doesn't speak very highly about them. The scripture speaks in such a way about them to lead me to think they're lesser devotees who worship the deities. Can you please help me understand? How are they lesser devotees if they're worshiping you, the Lord, who is Satchidananda Vigraha? They have relationships with him. They're serving him. They're meditating on him. Why all these statements in Shastra which speak about such devotees as secondary worshippers? And this was Gopakumara's doubt that he was asking Narada Muni to please clarify for him. And then Narada Muni, of course, completely cleared it up by explaining that yes, anybody who worships the deity as non-different from Krishna, who sees Krishna manifesting himself fully in that form and serves him in a selfless mood, giving, not only selflessly serving the deity, but giving full respect to all Vaishnavas of the Lord, and who is not in any way sectarian in his worship of the deity, then that such persons who worship the deity in that consciousness, the fruit of their worship is immediately achieved. Immediately. Why? Because they worship in the right consciousness. But all the verses that you've heard about, speaking about the worshippers of the deity who are secondary worshippers, or who are Prakriti Bhaktis, it's because they don't see the Lord. They don't see the deity as non-different from the Lord. They see the deity as brass, or stone, or wood. And they don't serve in the consciousness that this deity is non-different from the Lord. They don't have that kind of consciousness in their worship. And moreover, they don't respect Vaishnavas. They don't have proper respect for those who are lovers of the Lord, those who actually serve the Lord in proper consciousness. And they think their service is superior, exceptional, more important. And due to pride, they have some pride and envy. This is not Vaikuntha mentality. Vaikuntha mentality, real worshippers don't feel this pride and envy. Real worshippers see all worshippers as equal worshippers. They're all satisfying the Lord. How can I be better than them? They're all satisfying the Lord. He's so pleased by their non-deceptive worship. How can I think myself better? So those who think like that, That's who those verses are talking about. They're talking about people who think like that. Their prakriti bhaktas. Their worship is insufficient. But both Narada Muni and Sanatana Goswami reveal something very important. He explains to Gopakumara that even though they may worship in an inappropriate consciousness, if they simply remain steady in their worship and don't give it up for anything, gradually, although previously the Lord would not accept their worship because of their duplicitous method of worship, gradually the Lord will, because of his kindness, because of his compassion, and by the mercy of those selfless Vaishnavas, those non-duplicitous Vaishnavas, those non-envious Vaishnavas, who by great fortune they may have gotten the opportunity to associate with, their hearts will become purified. And someday, the Lord will accept their offerings. And they'll achieve the fruit, which is the desired fruit for those who worship the forms of the deity. They'll achieve full perfection. These are all points brought out by Narada Muni, Sanatana Goswami, and this actually brings us up right to the verse which we'll begin speaking from tomorrow, which is volume 2, chapter 4, text 225, which is a verse that we haven't spoken from yet for those devotees who've been accompanying us on this journey with Gopakumara since last year. We'll begin on this verse tomorrow. And this is my summary of past verses. When I calculated for BBT who wanted the classes I had given on Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I think there were 263 classes on Brihad Bhagavatamrita that BBT wanted. They wanted to put on their website. So it's not possible to put 263 classes in one class. I've simply given a summary to bring us up to where we'll begin tomorrow. For anyone who has questions, there is a link on the website, and that link on the website is available. I don't know, maybe Varshana, you can put it in the chat also. That link it's a direct link to a question form. It doesn't even go to the website. It's a direct link to a form where you can put your email address, your name, and your question. Questions are there. Form is there for questions about classes. You can try asking other questions, but I'm not going to answer other questions. I'm only going to answer questions which are connected to classes. And if there's time, I'll answer other questions. Questions will be answered on the 19th and 20th. We'll give short classes on those days, and on those days we'll take time to answer your questions. So, again, the link is on the website. Yes, it's JotForm link. I think it's that time. It's probably 4:15 in Edessa. And they have to move into their next session. And I don't see them. I don't see their screen. So I don't see what's happening next. They disappeared. Oh, yeah, there they are. I see them now. It's very blurry. It's a very poor reception. Previously, I got to see everybody. But now I only see their back. And I can't even see the deities. Anyways, and it's very blurry. And maybe it's me. I don't know. Maybe it's my camera. But I'll end here. And tomorrow, class will begin at the same time, 6:30 p.m. India time, 4 p.m. Moscow time, and 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time for anyone who's in United States or Canada. And I guess we'll just end here. I guess I don't know if we can end in our traditional way by turning on the sound and the devotees all raising their hand and chanting Hare Krishna together, but we can try it. I don't have any control of it. But Jai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadara Harshiva Siddhi Gaurava Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada ki.